All right, so praise the name of the Lord. You know, I'm going to lift up three things to you. I prayed about them last week. This is before I begin here. And, you know, a matter of fact, that what you can be doing if you want to, you can be turning to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, I'm going back to the subject and to also the main text from last week at the end of Romans chapter 13. And the title of this message is Expectation in God. Expectation in God. You know, but as you're doing that, I want to lift up these the three areas and for you to be praying about, praying over for the week. You pray your normal prayers that you're praying, but number one is encouragement of heart for all the saints. We prayed that last week, and I just want to lift that up. It's on my heart. I'm not going to pray it right now for each of us to take that this week and pray over it. Number two is for those that are sick. Lift up the sick. Pray for the sick. We just want to lift that before the Lord. And then number three is for our nation. All right? For our nation. That we, you know, that we're coming together as a body, right? And we're being of one heart, one mind, and one soul here. And we're going to lift up those areas. You pray your regular prayers that you're praying. But we're going to unite in a special way, all right? So those right there. Amen. Amen. Well, glory to God. I'm going back to this and looking at expectation, understanding expectation and how we receive from the covenant of the Lord. And we know that when we exercise the heart of expectation, that this is really the fundamental practice of a living faith. And I just want to lift that up because a lot of times, you know, we believe in faith, we teach faith, we know faith as a doctrine. But I'll be honest with you, I think there's a lot of believers that do not really understand how to have a fundamental, practical application, practice of faith in their lives. And this is very important for us to understand. And I know that I keep emphasizing this, but the reason I do this is because you understand that the covenant that you've come into in the Lord Jesus Christ is a covenant that is on the basis of faith, on the basis of faith through grace. That we everything that God does, he does it through the grace of God. He's not looking for my strength. He's not looking for my effort. He's not looking for my willpower or my might or my determination. Now, I'm not saying that some of those things are not involved, but where they're involved at is they're involved in the decision of heart. That's where they come from. They have nothing to do with the way of faith in itself. Matter of fact, many times some of the most powerful prayers that I can pray are those that I'm praying in my greatest weakness. In my greatest weakness. You know, so, you know, we learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, we keep our eyes on the covenant promises because this is the will of God for you and I in Christ Jesus is the covenant promises of Almighty God. You know, and that's what this word is right here. This is not just simply a good word. This is not just simply, you know, a good pattern to live by. It is the covenant of the Lord. It's a covenant of the Lord. You know, so, you know, when we see this, you know, that is our vision that the Holy Spirit wants to give us. You know, and the more we believe on the word, and the more that we practice faith, the more we come before the Lord in an expectation of the promises of God, then the more that the Holy Spirit is able to bring us into those blessings, those provisions that belong to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to look right here, and I've read really a lot here in the latter part here with verse 11 on down, but I want to focus upon particularly the statement that's being made right here in verse 14. The last verse of chapter 13. It says here in verse 14, it says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision. I'm reading New American Standard. Make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. You know, and the one thing that I shared with you last week that you understand that he's not telling us to do this after the flesh or by the power of the flesh. But this is not only a command, but it's also a promise. And I want you to hear that. You know, everything and anything that I've been commanded to do, how I meet that is by a decision of heart. And that when he gives us a command, when he says, put on, then what he's talking about, and my effort, if you might, may say that, my effort or my part is that is a decision of heart before the Lord. But it's received through faith. This is a faith commandment that's given to me. This is not only is it a commandment or decision of heart, but it's also a promise. It's also a promise. You know, everything that he's given me command to do, he's promised to do in me and with me and for me. And that all comes through the work of the grace of God. You know, grace is not some stagnant thing, nor is grace simply a doctrine. That is a living work that comes by the power of God. You know, it talks about grace increasing here in the word of the Lord. It talks about missing the grace of God in the word of the Lord. You know, so we know that grace is not some stagnant thing. It's not simply biblical theory. It's not simply biblical doctrine. It's not something that, you know, is just simply idealistically held onto. No, it's fundamental and it's practical. You can miss the grace of God. You can have little of the grace of God. You can have an abundant flow of the grace of God. And know this, because of the covenant that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, because of that covenant, know this. Know that every time that you believe upon the Lord, as you believe upon God, the grace of God is flowing in your life. It doesn't matter whether you see it at that moment. It doesn't matter whether you feel it. This is a faith action, and this is the covenant of the Lord. This covenant, this new covenant that we took communion in just a little bit ago, this covenant is a covenant that is on the basis of faith through grace. That means that we believe for the things of God. And that's another point that I want to make right here, you know, that we need to believe upon the Lord. We don't assume upon the Lord. This passive spirit and attitude that you find among a lot of Christians, that they think that it's pious, they think that it is holy or being humble before the Lord. Well, you know, if the Lord wants to do it, well, you know, he can just do it. Well, he won't. And he's not going to, you know, and the reason he's not going to is because I'm not living according to the covenant way in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have to believe on God. He already paid for my sins before I ever gave my heart to him. Is that not right? He had already paid for my sins, you know, but when the salvation of the Lord, when I was born again by the Spirit of God, when that came into my life, it's when I believed upon him. Isn't that correct? And when I believed upon him, then what happened? Then he brought forth his covenant promise to me through the grace of God. Well, that's not only in the way that you get saved, but that's the way that you walk with the Lord. You walk with the Lord. All right, now, so, and this is not only is this a command, which is a decision of heart, but it's also promise from God. So let's look at it again in verse 14. He says, but put on, and I'm going to define that again. That is that Greek word enduo, that is E-N-D-U-O. And this is what it means. It means to clothe or to be clothed. Now, I want you to hear that, because how are we to be clothed? What is the promise of God in you, in me, in being clothed in the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the question we're going to answer here in just a minute. But listen to this. This is also a part of the definition, to clothe or to be clothed with. But then it goes on and it says this. And it says, in the sense of sinking into a garment. You know, like, you know, you put your shirt on, right? You put your pants on. You know, it covers my whole being. It covers my whole being. It covers my whole body. It covers all of me. And that's what he's talking about right here. When the put on, what the putting on is all about, it covers your whole being. There's absolutely nothing, and there's absolutely no area that's not being covered. Well, covered with what? What are we putting on? Well, he goes on here, and look at this again, 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at this, and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lust. So number one is that you can see very clearly here that I've been called into an overcoming life. That I'm not to be overcome, I'm to be an overcomer. You know, and that I'm to have an expectation of overcoming. I'm to have an expectation of receiving from God. I'm to have an expectation of what? Of being clothed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, no longer can I look at the scriptures when I look at this one and say, well, you know, I sure do love the Lord with all my heart, but, that's just my flesh. You know, and we act like and we talk like that we're enslaved to our flesh. I'm not saying that we can't have problems in the flesh, but I also want to say this, that we can have victory also over all of the flesh. That is in body, that is in soul, that is in spirit. I want to address all those in the scriptures right now, but the scripture talks about that. You know, so it has to do with what is our expectation. That's how it begins in our life. You know, I want to say this. My expectation in God is based upon God's covenant promises and what he says. I am what the word says that I am. I can do what the word says that I can do, and I can be what the word says that I can be. Now, it doesn't matter right now how far you might be away from the promise of God or even what this scripture says. You know, that's not the point, or what you're currently experiencing in some form or some fashion or another. You know, you begin to receive. You have to receive. You have to receive the promise. You have to be bold enough to proclaim the promise, the word of the Lord, the provision, the covenant provision of Almighty God. You know, and what that is that I'm no longer in Adam. I am no longer in Adam. I am no longer in the flesh. I am now in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am in the Lord Jesus. And not only am I in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I am in the Spirit. You know, the man of the Spirit, the way of the Spirit belongs to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the way that begins to unfold in my life is I begin to accept it before I even begin to see it being manifested. You know, this is where a lot of Christians have problems right there. They look at themselves. They look at themselves being the source of overcoming. But you are not the source of overcoming. You know, Jesus has already overcome for you. And this victory and life is implemented not by my self-effort. It comes through faith, and it flows through the grace of God because it is my inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you understand that I can look at things that seem lofty and far off, and I can begin to say that belongs to me in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I begin to receive it in my life. You know, and it begins to make a journey. And that journey is that being manifested in you because it's the promise of Almighty God. Some things take longer to be made manifest because many times what issues that we have, you must say, after the flesh are usually layered. You follow me? You know, and the way that the Lord begins to move in our lives is let's take an onion. He begins to unpeel, you know, the different layers that are there. And, you know, we say when we look at it, we don't see all those layers maybe that need to be peeled back, right? You know, we just kind of look at it. Well, okay, where is it, Lord? Where is it, Lord? But you got to believe upon the Lord and stand upon the promise of God. You got to believe the Lord and you got to stand. And the way that you do that is that you keep your eyes upon the Word of God. You know, I have expectation. Why do I have expectation? I have expectation because this is what God said. I expect to be changed. I expect to be transformed, not reformed. There's too much reform going on in the church. It's almost taken over the power, the supernatural power of Almighty God. We don't look for, we don't expect the supernatural power of the Lord. We're going to do it by man's program now. That's almost overcome the church in the day that we're living in. And the reason is because we no longer believe for the supernatural power of Almighty God. We no longer receive the place and the position of the Holy Spirit in the church. We've almost run him out. We've almost run him out, at least in a practical way. Oh, we love him doctrinally, but then we have no practical application of the Holy Spirit whatsoever, right? You know, but oh, we believe in him doctrinally. Well, it means nothing. It means nothing. It's nothing but philosophical. And, you know, if you don't have any practical application and working of what God has promised through the Word of God, and it's all philosophical, you're not any closer to God than just not believing it at all. And so we need to understand these things from the Word of God. And the way the Spirit of the Lord begins to work within me is that I believe what He says, no matter what I may be experiencing. I know that's kind of hard. But that's the working of faith. No matter what I may be experiencing, I'm going to believe upon the promise of Almighty God. I'm going to be in this word right here because this is His covenant. I'm going to believe upon it. I see my hope because I see it in the word. Like, for example, that verse right there, and make no provision for the flesh. Are you kidding me? Huh? Are you kidding me? What are you talking about? And a lot of people receive that as a burden because they're in self-effort, not in faith. All right, it becomes a burden. These commands become a burden to them because they think they're supposed to do it. You can't do it. You won't do it. You're not able to do it. But He has accomplished it for you and I. But at the same time, I want you to hear this. That it says, make no provision for the flesh and regarding its lust. In other words, I don't plan on it, nor do I excuse it. I proclaim victory over it. Are you with me there? I proclaim victory. How can you receive something? How can God do it if you don't start believing Him for it? And then many times our confession and our belief is the very opposite, you know, of what the Word says. Well, I can't help it. You know, well, you know we all sin. You know, we all sin. Isn't it amazing how we never talk about, you know that we all practice righteousness. No, we don't say that. We think it's nice and pious and humble, you know, if we talk about how much we sin and then we plan on it. We plan on it. We don't plan on not sinning. We plan on sinning. How will you ever find victory? You know, well, I'll be honest with you, there's no expectation there. There's no expectation. You know, and when there's no expectation, that's what people experience. You can't experience the promise of God without having expectation. Well, you know, let me go on and listen to this. Now, you know, what are we being clothed with? We're being clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what areas are being covered? Well, I don't have time for all of it, but I did mention this last week, that we're talking about your heart, we're talking about your mind. We're talking about, you know, the right arm of God, which is His strength. We're talking about the hand of God. We're talking about which is skill and ability and empowerment from the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the seeing things, the eye, seeing things the way that God sees them. This is what the provision of being clothed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's not me trying to see, it's being clothed. And as I'm being clothed, I begin to have His perspective. Wow, well, that's big, isn't it? I begin to have His perspective. You know, I begin to see it through the promise of Scripture and not through the condition and the hopeless despairing of the situation. And, you know, and then I begin to believe God. I can begin to believe God in overwhelming situations and circumstances, not by my own power, my own might, but in the empowerment that comes through the Holy Spirit. Okay, the ear. All right, and which we can do this with our hearing. You know, God will cause you to hear. So let me break it down just a little bit more. Also, this comes into our character. This comes into our character to remove those elements in our character that are so tied to the way of the flesh that are destructive in nature. They're not of the Lord. They're not of the Lord, you know. And then in our nature, our very nature, you know, the conformity of Jesus. You know, this is what the Spirit of God is doing. And as I believe upon such promises as this, And as I keep expectation before the Lord, because I read it and then I begin to believe for it. Be active in your faith before the Lord. Be active. Don't be a reader. Be a believer. Reading does not cause you to receive. No, it doesn't. But believing does. Oh, I may have to read it to believe it, right? Okay, but I'm not just simply reading. I'm also believing. Let me give you another example of this. This comes, just listen, from Philippians 1:19. And this is what was spoken here by the Apostle Paul under the circumstances that he was dealing with at the time. He said, "For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance." Listen, "through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." That's amazing, isn't it? You know, he was under quite a situation there. He had been incarcerated. He was no longer free. He was being dictated by others as to where he would be, what he would be, where he would be, all of that. You know, he didn't know what his fate would be. He didn't know what was going to happen next. Not really. His trust was in the Lord. You know, he was a man, don't you? Okay, you know, he was a man of God, but he was a man, wasn't he? Right? He had all these challenges facing him. He had pressures. He even speaks about the pressures that he had, that he could not go physically to the churches any longer because he was being incarcerated. And so, you know, he dealt with all of that, that sense of responsibility, maybe even the temptations to be worried about it and about this situation. I can't be there. I can't physically be there, and I've got all this burden to be upon me. Kind of sounds like some of the things you go through, right, in your life. But did you hear? I'm going to read it to you again, and I want you to listen to it. Again, it says, "For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through, number one, your prayers, and number two, and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ," that being clothed. You know, where's your greatest challenge? Where's your greatest weakness this morning? Bring the invitation of the provision of Jesus Christ into it. Where is your greatest need? Where's your greatest challenge? Where's your greatest weakness? Bring the provision of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the promise to be clothed in Him belongs to you. Let me read on so you'll hear more about this. You know, this is another place. This now comes in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, and says, and have put on, that's that same phrase all over again, that is that Greek word enduo, and here it is, it says, what, put on what? And have put on the new self, who is being renewed. There's a renewal that's going on in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not just simply learning about. We got to get out of the intellectual realm alone, and we got to get over into the realm of the Spirit. Because for too long, we've stayed in the intellectual realm, and we have no power. Because the power comes from the Holy Spirit. Not from intellectually knowing. You can know anything, but here's the question. Are you changed by what you know? And if you're not, it's nothing but intellectual. Power comes from God. Power comes from the Holy Spirit. Power comes when we believe upon the Lord. When we believe upon what He's promised. When we have the audacity, I'm going to put it that way, the audacity to stand on promises that look like they're so far away from us. And you understand, let me just say this, that Jesus is your prize, right? Jesus is your reward. Your being in Him is what the Christian life is all about. You know, believing for promises has kind of been perverted, you might say, in some way. You know, where it's just believing in provisions that I want to believe for. No, I believe on what I see. I believe on what I read. My pursuit is after Him. And He is the delight of my heart. You know, He is your reward. He is your provision. And that's where the promise of being clothed. Who is this new self? He's talking about you. He's talking about you. Well, tell me who He is. Who is this new self? And then we have other scriptures that talk about the old self. Old is not the current. That's the one that used to be, right? Oh, I mean, boy, people get upset about this all the time, right? You know, because they love to plan the sin. They love to plan the sin. You know, and so, oh, you know, we just can't help it. You know, after all, you know, we're just all sinners saved by grace. That's not a true statement at all. That's planning on defeat. That's planning on failure. That's planning on sin. And it's the opposite of what the Word of God says right here in the Word. He addresses every letter by calling us the saints of God. Now, we got a real problem, don't we? We're the sinners and we're the saint sinners. Right? Oh, dear sinner saint. Am I right or wrong here? But see, it doesn't matter how. I'm not saying that I don't sin, but I sin less than I used to. I sin less than I used to. Hagios is the same word for the word saint as it is for the word holy. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Only saints are going to heaven. Okay, that's the only ones that are going. The sinners aren't going. The sinners are not going. Okay? So if you're a sinner, become a saint. Because, you know, understand that saints of God have a different expectation. I know a lot of this has been taught to us. And not everything that's been taught to us has been correct at all. You know, and you do not find victory in speaking the opposite of what God's Word says. And it's not holy. You're not humble, right? And you, neither are you arrogant because you proclaim what appears to be so far away. I want you to say that again to you. You're not arrogant. You're not arrogant. You're believing. But there's a lot of Christians that are taught that believing God specifically for things is not right in God. You know, we just let God do whatever He wants to do, you know. We're not going to believe Him for anything. We're going to believe Him to be saved. That's it. That's it right there. And then we walk around getting our brains beat out, and we lived in defeat, and we live in failure, and we do not find the promises of God. We confess one thing, and we live and experience another. Well, listen to this one. The new self, okay, is being reunited. Here's another place. This is at Ephesians 4:24. And put on. There's that phrase again. That's the same word. Now, that's three times that you've seen this in Scripture, that you've been given a command to put something on. You, the saint of God, have been commanded to put something on. You have to now determine, how in the world am I going to do this? How am I going to obey the word of the Lord? It's through believing Him. All right, here it is. And put on the new self. This is a different scripture. I read Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. That's being clothed in Jesus. Here's now the one I just got through reading. This is now Ephesians 4. And this is verse 24, and put on, there it is again in duo, put on the new self, there's the new self talked about again, which, now listen carefully, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. What in the world are we going to do with that scripture? So do you see that the putting on of the new self, which is made in the likeness of God. What do we call that? Because it's a subject all through Scripture, I think, called godliness. Godliness. Now we're getting old-fashioned all of a sudden, aren't we? We're getting old-fashioned. We're going to talk about godliness here, you know. And then it created in righteousness. Now listen to this. And holiness of the truth. Wow. What is this? This is the new self. This is the characteristics of the new self. So we're talking about, listen, what area does being clothed in Jesus apply to? I don't know what area it doesn't apply to. I don't know what area. Our mind, our thoughts, our desires, our motives, okay? Our intentions, our ambitions, our actions, our deeds, our behavior, my will, my character. How about this one? My habits. My habits. Godliness does not line up with sinful habits. Godliness does not line up with sinful habits. You know, many people fall victim to, I've tried and I can't do anything about it. I've tried and I can't do anything about it. Well, welcome to the club. I'm its president. Okay? I'm its president. You know, but it doesn't come through you overcoming it. It comes by being clothed in the Lord Jesus Christ. One quick scripture. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, real quick here. And this is the last scripture I'll read us. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look what it says right here. This is all through the word of the Lord. You know, it's a new thought to a lot of believers when you begin to see, I'm no longer in Adam. Wait a minute. Hold on here. What? What are you talking about? You know, new self, old self? What is that? What is that? Do you understand? So I accept what Scripture says, no matter how far away I am from it, no matter how foreign it may appear to me, no matter how many times I've tried, okay? You know, it's a shame, but many times what God is doing is letting us be wore out of our own strength so that we can come into that death of the Lord Jesus Christ, that death of self and all self-effort, self-trying, and self-all works, so that he can begin to pour that grace into that area of our lives. Don't keep resisting the Lord until you get your brains beat out. Okay? Believe on God. And don't be afraid. Understand that things may come immediately. Things may take time to come. There may be a progressive work that's taking place, right? The first thing he gives you hatred for that thing that you used to indulge in and never give a thought about. And then he begins to cause this resistance. I can't live with it anymore. I can't do it. I can't. I don't know how I'm going to overcome, but I can't. See, that's the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of God. Then he brings you to a place of crisis within your heart. And that crisis is where I gotta believe him. I got no other alternative here. I can't be this way no more. I cannot be this way anymore. But I can't do anything about it either. And then, oh my goodness, I begin to cry out to God. And then I begin to, in that crisis, begin to believe him for it. That's how God works. Look at this one real quick, right here. This is now in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to just look here. Look at verse 4. It says, "For indeed, while we are in this tent," and that is in this life, in this body, in this man, look here, we groan. Now, Lord, what are we groaning about? And this is the believer who has a heart after God. Okay, we groan, being burdened. Now, I want you to notice that we're being burdened. What are we burdened about? Because we do not want to be unclothed. We do not want to be unclothed. But look at this. But to be clothed. Do you see the heart's desire of the believer in Jesus. You know, there's a burden about him. There's a groaning that's about him. You know, there's doctrine that just think that you're always supposed to be happy and everything's all supposed to be well and good. You know, if you're groaning about anything, you must not be right with God. But this is not what Scripture teaches at all. You know, there's a working of the Spirit that we begin to get burdened about things. And some of these burdens are right from the Spirit of God. All right, now, because we do not, what are we burdened about? Because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed. In order, well, what do you mean? In order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now, he's not simply talking about when we all get to the sweet by and by, because he wouldn't say what he's going to say next if this was all just simply in the sweet by and by. This is verse 5. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God. Look at this. Who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. One day you will be completely clothed. Do you see that? Have you experienced the Holy Spirit? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Do you have the moving and the working and the life of the Holy Spirit? You recognize that going on in you? He's saying that he's been given as a pledge. You know, pledge, you know, like an earnest, right? You're going to buy a house. I'm going to pay for that house, but I'm going to give down the down payment earnest money. Hey, I'm serious about this. It's going to be fulfilled. Here's my pledge. Here's my earnest. The Spirit of God's been given as a pledge that what you long for, what you groan for, one day will be made complete. You shall be made like him. And you will know him just as he is. Right? Today we see in part and we know in part. But one day we shall see him face to face. Right? Isn't that glorious? You're on a journey. You understand? You're on a journey right now in Jesus. You're on a journey. You're being clothed. You're being clothed. Let it be your expectation. Let it be your expectation. Kathy, why don't y'all come on? I'm going to have you, why don't everybody stand for just a minute, okay? You want to stand? If you can't stand, don't worry about it, okay? If you can't stand, it's hard for you to stand, then you just don't worry about it, okay? But I've got some things that are on my heart. I'm going to close with these, and these are